It's in the silence that I think of her the most. I reach for the phone to tell her something, and then, well, I remember that she's no longer here. Since my dad's vascular dementia emerged, I was calling her like 5 times a day as part of my daily routine. It had become a habit. So sometimes now I listen to her voicemail, her message. It was recorded before I canceled the phone. It's short, but it's her voice. Her sweet voice.
Hello. Please leave a message. Thank you.
I miss you, Mom. Today, I really miss you.
Assumption override. Please engage critical thinking now.
Check your pills. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Check your pills.
Change your thinking. Change your life.
Before the pancreatic cancer took my mom, my dad, who suffers from vascular dementia, was placed in an assisted living home. And he was doing well there, well, it seemed. Then he got this infection in his foot and had to go into the hospital to have his big toe amputated. He's been a type 1 diabetic for, you know, over 40 years, so circulatory issues are expected in his condition. And the hospital put him in a nursing home for his rehabilitation, for his care. And that's where he's been for the past month. Well, the rehabilitation that is covered by his insurance is coming to an end. So the assisted living place where he was living sent someone out to give him an assessment. And this morning, they informed me that they will not be taking him back. So now I have to find a place that will take care of him, you know, that will accept him. Did I mention that I live in Chicago and that he's in North Carolina? It's all private pay. He has no long-term care insurance, and the cost, let me tell you, the cost is exorbitant. The assisted living place, that was crazy expensive. Skilled nursing homes are at least $2,000 or $3,000 more per month. So we're talking about, you know, $7,500, $8,000 a month. Imagine how nice most of us could live for $8,000 a month. I mean, it is criminal in this country. And here's the thing about this, my point of all this. Stress is natural. And for me, anyway, it could easily become a reflex action. I can validate my reasons for my worry. My parents have a house that's still full of furniture that's for sale. I'm dealing with the realtor, the house showings, the bills, the hospitals, the insurance claims, talking to the estate salespeople about what I will do with all of that stuff. But I am choosing peace. In the midst of all of it, I am choosing peace. I remind myself that despite my arguable limitations, I am healthy. I am richly blessed. I can only do what I can do day by day. I can easily validate that stress. Yes, I can. But not the anxiety that results from engaging it. How do I validate that? So I breathe, I meditate, I choose to believe that it is all going to work out. I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know when, but it will work out. It will work out. It will all work out. It will all work out. It will all work out. Oh, 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 oh
wanna be goofy, go right ahead. It's fine with me. If you wanna do something that'll make you happy, by all means, please. Those bad days come and go, but it's okay though. You see, we have a choice, and I'm gonna make the best of it. I choose happiness, I choose peace, I choose beauty and love, 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 love. I choose grace, I choose joy, I choose life and love, 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 love. Do 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 do. You can go paint a picture or go fly a kite. Enjoy your life. Don't go around with that sad face. Life's too short to live that way. I choose to be happy. Those bad days come and go, but it's okay though. You see, we have a choice, and I'm gonna make the best of it. I choose happiness, I choose peace, I choose beauty and love, 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 love. I choose grace, I choose joy, I choose life and love, 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 love. I choose happiness, I choose peace, I choose beauty and love, 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 love. I choose grace, I choose joy, I choose life and love, 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 love. I choose happiness, I choose peace, I choose beauty and love, 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 love. I choose grace, I choose joy, I choose life and love, love, love.
Loretta LaRoche, author, lecturer, and renowned stress management expert, is America's favorite humor therapist. Armed with the newest findings in the mind-body field of health, Loretta has helped millions of fans take the serious to the delirious.
Hi there. Welcome. So glad you're here to celebrate the Party Pants show. Hope you're wearing them. When I was growing up, my mother would always say, "You never know. You never know." If we were having a delicious meal, she'd say, "Now wait, make sure you save something, because you never know." We would save wax paper, string, string, ball, big ball of string. You had to have a lot of string because you never know. You save bits of soap, tiny, 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 tiny bits of soap. Because you never know. I'd ask her, "Well, what is it you don't know?" She said, "You'll see." So I waited to see, but I never got to know, really. We'd go out and buy patent leather shoes for Easter. but I couldn't wear them. I had to wait. Because you never know. So I got to put Vaseline on them. Every day. Isn't that exciting? Now I put it on my face. Because it's cracking just like the shoes. It was the underpants, though, that really brought me over the edge. For some reason, I had to get sturdy underpants. Sturdy. Heavy duty. Really heavy duty. Get you through a lot, you know. Get you through. My mother would have a conversation with the sales clerk, and she'd say, you know, we really want pants that last. Now, I couldn't figure this out. Was I going in a mine shaft? Maybe I wasn't coming out for a couple of months. It was very disturbing. Because all my other friends had these little tiny pants, you know, with frills and bows and everything. But not me. And I begged and I begged and I begged and I said, please, 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 let me have a pair of party pants. Well, she finally bought me a couple of pairs. But she said, you got to save them. Because you never know. So I put them in the drawer with my step underpants. And I would beg, beg, beg daily, can I please wear my party pants? She said, we'll see. You can wear them, but only on special occasions. It's interesting, isn't it? What is a special occasion? Well, I was 9 years old. I wasn't going, you know, to be a movie star. So occasionally, I got to wear my party pants. But not that often. They just stayed in the drawer and kind of molted. But, you know, the good news is that I still have them. They just don't fit. Well, this might sound like a sad story, but it isn't. Because there's a lot of truth to the fact that my parents and my grandparents needed to save things. They were going through a depression and World War II. And things were scarce, weren't they? There wasn't a lot of goods to be had. But you know, the one thing they had was the internal goods. Boy, did they resonate with what was going on inside of them, which was a lot of humor, a lot of joy, a lot of connection, a lot of people coming over, a lot of fun. There wasn't a day that didn't go by where people used to visit. They were called neighbors. Remember them?
Loretta, for our listeners that have had enough, for those who are ready to free themselves from the bondage of stress, what are some of the steps that they can take today to begin to shift their perspective?
The first thing I want to make certain people know is that stress is not all bad. First of all, you have to define the difference. You need stress in the everyday to get you out of bed in the morning to go somewhere. You need it in case there's something dangerous that's imminent, like the possibility of a mugging or a car coming towards you on the highway. You have to feel that sort of gut response. It's distress that you want to start to eliminate. Looking at everything as if it's a crisis. You're not an emergency room physician. You don't have to react to every little thing that happens as if you're going to have to go in and do surgery. It's putting things into perspective. The fax machine jamming or the computer crashing is not the same as a diagnosis of cancer. Look at your life in the context of how it evolved. Take each thing and be a witness to it instead of being part of it. You know, say, well, this is not that important. I don't have to get crazy over this. One of the things I recommend is to tell people to think about what they're thinking about. Don't believe everything you think. Test it out. Say, what am I thinking about here? What does this mean? You know, this is just a traffic jam. I'm not going to be stuck here for life. I will be able to eventually get where I'm going. You know, it is what it is. a little bit of the Buddhist mentality. It is what it is. And have fun. Look at the joy that you could create in your daily existence. Play along the way. Interact. Enjoy a waiting period if you're in line. Chat with the people around you. Create community. Instill peace in every step that you take in the world. And essentially, we may eventually have world peace.
Now, is there anything that you do routinely to invite more fun into your day?
I usually, as I said, play along the way. I talk to everybody I come in contact with. I'm going on a trip, starting with the gate agent. How are you? How are things? How are you feeling? I always take a little time to create sort of the precursor to what I'm doing. I engage with people. I create some kind of a bond with my fellow human beings that's fun. I go to the gym. I work out. I think exercise is extremely important to relieve any kind of stress. It promotes endorphins, which are chemical cousins to opiates, heroin, and morphine, just as laughter does. I get massages. I interact with my family. I talk to my friends. I mean, these are all the things that promote a holistic human being. You know, I think we've shifted into being human doings instead of human beings.
Mm-hmm. It's a great observation. And such simple steps, but we pretend like it's so complex.
It's not that complex. That's the problem. That's why all the fear, you know, food has been demonized. I try to enjoy my food. I spent some time in the south of France recently. No one demonizes food. No one says, take away the bread, don't bring this, put it on the side, put it underneath. There was always bread on the table, olive oil. People eat everything, but they eat small portions.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as if all of a sudden, you know, it's the Frankfurter that made you fat.
Right, right. Not me, but the Frankfurter.
Probably eating 10 Frankfurters, you know?
Yes. Now, I'm going to put my Mike Wallace hat on for a moment now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that you are the mistress of mirth. So is there anything that really triggers you, Loretta? Is there anything that tempts you to give up your title? Come on, you can tell us.
Yeah.
No one's listening. You can tell us.
Ah, please. I'm human. I'm not... I haven't reached nirvana yet, believe me. I'm just grateful I have this work to constantly remind me that I don't have to go over the edge. But when I do, I always reveal it. I have to tell you, the thing to me that's most maddening now is trying to reach a human being on the phone.
Oh, yes.
When they start in with press 1, press 2, press 3. You have to input all this stuff, and then you're cut off, and you have to start over again. To me, it's maddening, and because I feel, oh, God, this is so bizarre. Why did they get rid of all the people? Bring a person back on.
Right, and I know. And once you memorize it, they change the menu. That's what I've noticed. They get too smart for you.
That stuff drives me. I think it's because I'm grieving in some way that I just can't get an operator.
This is The Pill. Your daily dose for what ails you.
It always comes down to this, always. Is the pain of where you are greater than the discomfort of what it's going to take to move you out of it? It is a question that you are answering every day with your thoughts, words, and actions. So why not be clear about your answer?
Do you know that most people die of heart attacks and strokes on Monday morning between 6 and 9 a.m.? That must mean something. I guess the body is laying there like a dead parrot saying, oh, no. And then there's, well, maybe I'll have fun when I go on a trip. Aren't we always waiting for a vacation to get relief? And then we get there and we say, oh, what a horrible room. Maybe next year I'll get a better one. I can't have fun here. I know, when I retire, then I'll really enjoy myself. And guess what? Then you die. Your family gets your money, and then they go on a trip. Do you know that kids laugh 400 times a day when they're 4 years old? Think about how often you laugh. The average in America is 15 times a day. 15 times. And you know, that laughter isn't the laughter of childhood, which sort of rolls over the body, turns it into sort of this wonderful mechanism that's just enjoying itself all the way down to the cellular level. Do you know that most adults laugh like this? Show your molars. If you don't have any, show your gums. Now, as soon as you do this, something very interesting happens. There's a chemical shift in the brain. And the brain starts to say, oh, I think we're happy. a wonderful thing to do in the moment of stress, you know, or distress, when all of a sudden maybe you feel overwhelmed. You just do this. And suddenly the brain says, I think we can get through this. One of the biggest kicks I had when I was speaking to a huge audience who happened to be the IRS was watching them do this group exercise. It was a lot of fun. I figured, aha, a smile audit. Now, what do you think just happened? Chemically, something very interesting just happened. You actually got a relaxation effect, you see? This is a catharsis. You let go. How many of you feel a slight letting go in your physical self? You know, maybe a little tension is reduced. Because what you're really saying is you're coming from a sense of scarcity. You know, we see this in the workplace. We see it in relationships. We're waiting to give of ourselves to others, waiting to let them use our good pencil. This is bizarre, isn't it? I want to live my life to the fullest. I don't know about you. My goal someday is to sit in a tub of butter and stark naked eating a lobster. I'd like to know how many of you are perfectionists. Like, how many of you have to have things just right? Because you never know. Quite a few people. I suffer from many of these disturbances. How do you think I know them so well? Well, one of the things that I suggest you buy is a cape. This is a most marvelous cape. And I am a recovering perfectionist. And, you know, I use this now because you never know. I was always worried that people might stop by and want a tour of the basement. They may want to sit in the closets a couple hours. And I used to clean under the toilet in case anyone short showed up. Now, if you're like this, I suggest you get this and you swoop around with it. See, this is wonderful at work because there's a lot of perfectionists in workplaces who are supremely organized and wish everyone else were like them. So swoop around your building. And just say out loud what you normally say to yourself. It's a good thing I'm here. I don't know what would happen if it wasn't for me. That simple, simple phrase, I understand, can sometimes help people with some of their negative incidences in their lives. And how about becoming the change you want to see in others? You know, we talk a lot about telling other people what they ought to do, how they ought to be, and what they will what will happen to them if they listen to us. But if we become the change we want to see in others, we will actually be reflecting what Mahatma Gandhi once preached. And, you know, we are the ones that can change the workplace, the home life, the community, by going out into the universe and spreading joy and kindness and empathy. And
I'm going to say it again, because it's important. So much of the condition of our lives is a response to a story that we are telling ourselves about our life, about our circumstances, about the world. If you disconnect from your position as the author of that story, if you relax, if you unplug from the power that you were given as a human being, you will begin to act as though that story is being written by someone else, and that you are simply a character in it, simply responding to what happens. You will move from being proactive to being reactive, and suddenly you're a victim. Suddenly fear, which is usually serving in a low-level advisory position in that committee in your head, becomes a leader. Fear is moved and elevated to a management position, and you will begin to invest in assumptions, a story about what is about to happen, and unfortunately, in most cases, that's going to be a negative, fearful story. And when you begin to feed that negative story about what is to come, all of that bad stuff that is coming, not only do you infuse and elevate the potential for that reality, but You produce stress in your life, stress in your body, because your body responds to your thoughts as truth. And voila, you have produced stress. Everything is always working out for me. Everything is always working out for me because I expect everything to always work out for me. It is my expectation that everything is always working out for me that is the reason that everything is always working out for me. When things do not go as I had planned, as I had expected, even as I had hoped, I step back and I remind myself of the truth that despite how things may appear, despite my initial disappointment, everything is always working out for me. Everything is always working out for me. Everything is happening exactly as it should. Everything is always working out for me. Behind the scenes, in the midst of the chaos, everything in the universe is conspiring together to see that I have all, not just some, but all that I desire. So I open myself up to receive the good that each day brings because I know that it is always there, that it will always continue to be there. It is always flowing to me because everything is always working out for me. Everything is always working out for me. Believing is seeing, and I see because I believe, knowing that everything that happens to me happens for me. Everything is always working out for me. I can go with the flow and float in the direction of the current, or I can be the salmon, always swimming against the tide, trying to control, trying to force change, struggling, or I can let go and float, surrendering to the truth. Everything has and will always work out for me. Everything is always working out for me. How about you?
There once was a man that looked at the world through rose-colored glasses, and he lived happily ever after.
Roll credits.
Hello, this is Mark.
The Pill with Mark Ward. Buddy, first off, that was a pretty heartfelt segment I just heard with the one with your mom. Like I said, I don't know you well, but my thoughts and prayers about what's going on with that, for sure. But on a more lighter note, thank you for favoring my station. It sounds like you're a very inspiring guy yourself. A lot of happy segments on your show. Keep it up, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to listen, first of all, and for the call-in. I truly appreciate it. It means a lot, and back at you. And for anyone who has gone this far on my station, who is not yet listening to Kevin, why don't you do that right now? No, I mean right now. Now.
Pretty intense stuff there, Mark. This is Melissa Reyes. I just totally related to that when I heard it on Jennifer's Echo. And in fact, I responded to her just with my thoughts. But I wanted to also say thank you. And thank you for all the positivity. It's positive week. That's my theme this week. And I'm going to be talking about a lot of positivity. And I just love the way that you turned it around. So thank you.
Hey, Melissa. Thank you for listening. And thank you so much for calling. And I'm glad that I stayed within the positive theme, not even knowing that it was positive week. But then, you know, every week should arguably be positive week, shouldn't it? Thanks for the call.
Mark, Georgie D here, just calling in to say that my thoughts are with you during this difficult time, and I'm so sorry for your loss. Deeply touched and moved by your segments on your station today, and I just want you to know that your pain is my pain, brother. We all share in your pain. Losing somebody is the most intense thing, isn't it? And you never get over it. It just gets a little bit less painful as time goes on. That segment of your mum's voice, that was so, so sad. But I'm happy and glad that you still have her voice so you can listen to it. Okay, Mark, take care. Georgie D's thinking of you. Much love, brother.
Thank you, Georgie D. I really appreciate that. I truly, truly do. And I send that love back to you.